We are going to witness the faithfulness of a God who is true to his word and true to his promises. God says that he will pour out his Holy Spirit on all who ask. We're going to ask and we're going to receive. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you come up to be prayed with and have this tremendous experience of God's love and you feel his power in you and you feel all this joy. It doesn't matter if you come up to pray and you hope to be filled with the Spirit, but you're really doubting that God's going to do it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you come forward and you feel absolutely nothing at all. What matters is the truth. And the truth is that Jesus will be present, that he is going to hear the cry of your heart, and he is true and faithful to his word. You can count on that, in spite of feelings. So where do we go from here? Okay, we're going to come up here, we're going to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Then what? What's the next step? Conversion to Jesus, yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time magic, voila, and you are filled. I heard a priest say once that, you know, we pray again and again for that release of the Spirit because we leak.
Yeah.
And so this process is ongoing. We cannot continue to grow as Christians without some effort on our part. We do have a role to play in this. Jesus is the baptizer in the Spirit, and we have a responsibility to respond to the gift that he's giving us. And that requires some time, some of our attention, and it requires a lot of our will. It's kind of like having a beautiful plant. Somebody brought me this beautiful peace lily. Gorgeous, big, beautiful plant. Now, if I hadn't put that little plant in the sun, in the window, and gave it its food and nurtured it a little bit, it wouldn't have been long, that peace plant wouldn't have lived. But this is a real miracle, but thanks be to God, that plant lived for a couple years until I drowned it. But so it is with the Spirit of God and with the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It requires our time and attention and some effort. Thanks be to God, he has not left us to our own demise. He has given us tools to work with, some things that we can do that will help to nurture what he is doing in our hearts. Always recognizing that it's really God who does the transforming. It's God who does the converting. Our little willpower, our little efforts to do this does not change us. God changes us. But it's our cooperation and our saying, our continued yes. Yes, Lord, I want this. And I'll take these steps to help you to do what you want to do in my life. The Christian life can be compared to a bicycle wheel. For those of you who've been part of the Life and Spirit seminars for a long time, this is a really, really old one. And I want you to know that this is helping my vanity. You notice there's no PowerPoints up there. It's the old hand-drawn little wheel that I just took very painstakingly, and you can tell by my artwork I'm not real good at it, but it makes the point. This is a bicycle wheel, in case you didn't know. The rim of this wheel is a Christian's daily life. It's our life as we live it. The hub of the wheel is the center of the life. It's what gives this wheel power and its forward movement. Okay? If there's not a hub, that wheel's gone nowhere. In the Christian life, Jesus should be at the hub. Jesus should be at the center. And I think for most of us, and I certainly know for me, I try to put Jesus there every day. But, you know, I knock him off there 20 times a day and get back into that hub of that wheel. We need to let Jesus be the center of the wheel so that he can give the power and the direction for our life so that we can continue to go forward. However, this is where we come in. These are spokes in the wheel. If the hub is not connected to the rim with some spokes, it's not very effective. And that's where we come in. There are certain tools that we can use that will help us to grow in our Christian life and grow in the depth of our understanding of what it really means to be filled with God's Spirit. And I'm going to put my lovely drawing right there for all to see. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nada." Nothing, yes. So what are those spokes? They are prayer, study, service, and community. Those are four basic practices that will help us to grow in intimacy with Jesus and will help us to live balanced Christian lives. And this Christian life is not something we live alone. I used to think I could do that. You know, I was just me and Jesus. We had it together, and by golly, we were a great team, me and Jesus. You can't grow like that. Jesus made us to be in community. Jesus made a covenant with us and with centuries of believers before us that he would be with us and that he will, but he calls us forward together and intends us to be part of a body. No lone ranger in Christianity, as the old saying. Hebrews 12:1 reminds us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. So let's take a look at each of these tools. While all of them are necessary to lead a balanced Christian life, if I had to pick just one of these that had to have top priority in your life, it would be prayer. You know, personal relationships flourish when people spend time together. Imagine a couple in love. If the only time they saw each other was at a business meeting once a week, there were no phone calls, there was no texting, no YouTube, no Facebook, no dates, no time alone together. What kind of a chance do you think that relationship would have? You'd say not a snowball's chance. Couldn't, and probably doubt if there was ever a relationship in the first place. Our relationship with God is no different. We need regular amounts of time with our God in order for us to come to know him. And when I say know him, I'm not talking about a knowledge up here where we know all about Jesus. I'm talking about a knowledge here where we know him, where we meet him, where he speaks to our hearts. If you want to know how to pray, Jesus gives us a really good example. How many times in scriptures do you hear that, where Jesus goes off to a lonely place or a deserted place in order to meet with his Father and to be revived in spirit? Jesus so much wants to be able to speak to us more than we desire that contact with him. Does he desire our contact with us? He longs to pour out his love into our hearts, to give us what we need. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to show us himself. He wants to reveal us to ourselves, that we can come to know who we really are in God's presence. That quiet time that you spend with the Lord every day may be the only time he has to get your attention. Maybe the only time during the day when you recognize that he's there. In this busy world that we live in, it's so easy to say, "Oh, you know, man, I am busy. You know, I've got a full-time job. I've got kids. I got supper to get ready. I got bills to pay. The kids need this at school. I've got this. I love to pray. Where do I find time to pray?" Well, there's an old saying that says, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. And it's that important for you to go back, sit down in your little selves, and take a look at what's so important in your life. And decide today, if you are not already doing that, decide today that you're going to give God 15 minutes of your 24 hours. And it's going to be all God's. Something happens when you make that commitment. And when you give God the best of the time of your day, somehow or other, God is able to order the rest of your day. And you know what? You get done everything that you needed to get done. It may not be everything that you put on your list, but you will accomplish what's the important things for you to do that day. Prayer is kind of like stepping out of clock time and stepping into the fullness of time. He will be there and be with you. I like what Teresa of Lisieux says. For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and love, embracing both trial and joy. It is a vast supernatural force which opens out my heart and binds me closer to Jesus. Really love that. I had an experience of just a little bit of that. I have a habit now that I use my hour for lunch to pray. And we're so lucky. I work in a hospital, and directly across the street is this beautiful park. And it has a big pond and waterfalls. And I have a little cubby hole that I can go to over in that side. But because I do that every day, it's become that sacred place. And it's like I sit there, and I am in God's presence. It's not anything I'm doing. It's just become that real to me. But I had a long period of time where I couldn't even pray. There weren't words. I just sat there knowing that God was doing something very powerful in my heart. And that's all I could do, was just sit there and allow that to happen. If somebody asked me, well, what's he doing? I have not a clue, except that I was beginning to notice things at work. I was a lot more patient. I seemed to be able to be more present to my patients. There was a joy in my heart even when things were nuts at work. I wasn't getting frustrated. And I believe that was all fruit of that prayer. Because God so much wants to do that for us. And I've spent so many years trying to earn God's love or praying real hard as if God wasn't going to hear a prayer that said, I want to be holy, or I want to be what you want me to be. I've said that prayer forever, but I didn't let him. I just was praying so hard. It was all up to me. It was all what I needed to do. And so different now that I can sit in God's presence, recognizing this is God's work in me. I just have to make myself available. I just have to be present to him. I don't want to get into all kinds of prayers and how to pray in this talk, because it's really not meant for that. But there are lots and lots of good books on prayer that can help. Some good sources, if you want to find some excellent articles, go to Amazon.com, Spiritual Books, Catholic. You will find a million good books on prayer, all of them excellent ways to help you to pray. But I do want to share just a couple things that I've kind of already touched on, but a couple things about developing a habit of prayer. Unless you make this a habit, unless you make this something that you do, just like you find the time to brush your teeth and comb your hair every day, you need to make prayer that kind of a habit. So decide on a particular time. Give God your best. If you're a morning person, pray in the morning. If your best time is at night, turn off the TV and pray at night. Find a place. It doesn't have to be anything fantastic, but you can kind of make it your own sacred place. A spot that's away from the TV, the kids, the telephone, the text messages, the computer, just where you'd have none of those distractions. Maybe a beautiful picture that helps you to focus on God. And go there every time when you're going to pray. and the time, the place, and then you need some material. What are you going to do to do that? It helps to have some material initially. It's hard just to sit down and pray without some helps, and there are all kinds of things that can help you. But most of all, take a journal or a tablet with you and a pencil and write down, take a couple minutes and just jot down words, if that's all you can, what you thought of, what captured your attention, what did you think you heard God say, and just write that down as you pray. Interesting thing happened to me just recently. I really resisted this journal writing for the longest time. I told my spiritual director, I'd rather have a root canal than write about my feelings. But I've learned to do it, and it's been extremely helpful to me. But I was struggling with something, and I don't even remember what that was, but I was really, really struggling with it. And so I'm learning that when I do that, I just start writing. And I pull no punches. I write it down there if it's somebody I'm angry with or whatever. I just write that down. And then at the end, I read that over, and then I take that to God. And what do I do with this? Well, I had this great insight. I thought it was brand new. Wow, God really spoke to me. And I happened to go back. I was looking back through my journal. A year ago, he said that same thing to me. And I still haven't listened. So, but, you know, it's neat. You will find that. You'll see the faithfulness of God as you look back over that journal, the ways that he's answered your prayers. It can be very, very helpful. The one other important thing is allow God some time to speak to you. And I don't know about you, but it can be very difficult to do that, because what you have to do is sit in silence. And you know, we want to fill up all that empty space. It's very hard just to sit and be quiet. But try that. I mean, maybe just give yourself, I'm going to set a timer, and for 2 minutes, I'm going to sit here and be quiet. And honestly, that 2 minutes will seem like it's 2 hours. But give yourself some time and just sit in the silence. And then that is especially good time to start jotting down anything you hear, what you thought of, what was most on your heart, the emotion that was most through. A lot of times you get personal prophecies that way. God will really speak to you. And you're going to find over time that you are going to be able to hear him speaking to you much more clearly as you give time for him to speak. Don't forget as well to let praise be a part of your prayer. We're so often, you know, we're kind of economical people. We get right down to the tax. Lord, I need this and this and this and this, and help me with this and do this, and what about this guy, and, you know, on and on. Give yourself some time to praise. And you can do that by praying the Psalms is a good place to start. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Psalms for praying. I would recommend this particularly to women. It's a beautiful book for men too, but it's a beautiful, beautiful rendition of the Psalms. And you can read one, and it can be a springboard for praise. It's an excellent one. You can just list the names of Jesus. Sometimes you can find them. They're probably on the net somewhere. But write your own. You know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, Lamb of God, Bright Morning Star, the Shepherd of my Soul, the Healer of my Life. Just start naming things of Jesus, and it really does give you this springboard into praise that you will be able to praise more freely. And once you are filled with the Spirit of God, or that Spirit of God is released in you, praise becomes much easier. It's one of his gifts. Reading scripture is a great companion to prayer. Now, for some people, it's, oh, man, where do I start? But, you know, especially if you are just starting, start with the church's readings of the day, the mass readings for the day. There are all kinds of commentaries out there, many, many books. One that I've used for years is The Word Among Us. And I'll leave some subscriptions here if you want to, so that you'd have it if this is something that appeals to you. But what's nice about the Word Among Us now is that they actually, you can get the the readings all written out for you, so you don't have to search through the Bible for the mass readings. They're all right there. And then there's always a beautiful meditation with it with a prayer that's kind of a springboard for prayer. And I use that every day. It helps to keep me focused on what's important. And so I would recommend that. If you really want to read the Bible itself, start with one of the Gospels. I love to start with John. It's the love gospel, and it's wonderful. But if you're just starting, please don't try to start at Genesis and plod your way through to Revelation. It's just mind-boggling. Start with one of the Gospels. Another spoke in the wheel, or the tool for growing in the Lord, is study. If you really want to get to know a person, you need to find out. You want to get to know who Jesus was, then you'll want to know how he lived, how he preached, what he taught, how he related to other people. And you need to study that. If we want to know what God wants from us, how we are to live our life, then we need to understand. We need to understand his ways through Scripture and through what the church teaches. There are all kinds of good Catholic Scripture studies out there, like the Little Rock series. There are tons of them that can really give you some really good Bible studies. I also included this Renewed Life. This is a charismatic renewal services. They have all of the charismatic books. There are some excellent books here, and there might be something there that will really appeal to you. You can look them up online, but I have some forms here. These are actually their little catalog, so if you want to take those, you could do that as well. Okay, community is another tool in living a balanced Christian life. We are all called to be part of a sacramental, faith-sharing community. And the church understands how important that need is by asking us to participate in Sunday liturgy. As I said before, there's no such thing as a lone ranger in Christianity. God calls us as a people. He came to save a people. Pentecost is called the birthday of the church for a good reason. It brought about the creation of a community of Christians. And if you'd like to read about that community, you can find that in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. So community is not an optional extra. It's really essential to living a Christian life. That's why we say in our creed every liturgy, I believe in one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Now, there are all kinds of levels of belonging to church community. Certainly, the sacramental life of the church is very important. Jesus touches us through the sacraments. Eucharist is the ordinary way that we meet Jesus every time we celebrate liturgy. When we pray, that the Spirit comes and consecrates both the bread and the people gathered there into the body of Christ. We become the body of Christ. So we know our parish and the sacraments are important forms of community. But most of us are also going to need a smaller group, a group where we can share our faith and our personal experiences in following Jesus. To grow in the life and the Spirit, we need to get together with Christians who've experienced the same thing we have. It's too hard to do that without it. And I can speak from personal experience. I was about 21 or 22 when I came to know Jesus in a personal way. All of my life, I believed in God. I loved God. But God the Father was this God who was way out there somewhere. He was so holy and so powerful and so mighty. I couldn't even hope to have any contact with him, any personal contact with him. And then I met Jesus. And then I knew the Father. So I had this wonderful experience, but I had nobody. I didn't know anybody that had experienced that personal relationship with Jesus at that time. My husband and I had just moved to West Virginia. We felt so alone in our church. We longed for a community of people to share with, and it just didn't seem to be there. As a matter of fact, we almost left the church because we met up with a couple Mormons, young men, who were so apparently so in love with God and who had this community that was so dynamic. It had everything in that church that we wanted and didn't seem to have in our own. Thanks be to God, we found out about Curcio, and he and I made Curcio, and that community became the community that gave us the strength that we needed. We found people there, we shared our joys and our sorrows, we shared our successes and our failures, and most of all, they were always there when we needed them. My husband was very sick at the time, and I can't tell you what they did, how much they went out of their ways to make sure that our needs were taken care of. Several years later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and a whole new world, a whole new understanding of the importance of community opened up for me. God was so good to me that not only because I was baptized in the Spirit before they had like the prayer meetings were around. I was baptized in the Spirit in my bathtub out of sheer desperation. I needed God so badly, and my husband was very, very sick, and it was hard. And I needed God, and it was sheer desperation that I cried out for him, and God heard that prayer. So it was like I was brand new. What do I do with this now? I had no idea. But it wasn't long. God formed some people together, and I had a prayer meeting that I could go to. And so then I could come and praise and worship God, and everybody there understood my need to do that, and we could all join together. But not only that, that little group of prayer group people soon truly became brothers and sisters to me. We shared meals together. We vacationed together. We watched each other's children. We cried over deaths. We rejoiced over births. We were family. And I knew for the first time what a true Christian community was. Our love for one another grew and grew, and so did our prayers became even more powerful. In that little prayer group, we had a group of women, there were like five of us, and we came together and prayed every week. Well, we know by this time we knew each other really well, so not only were they the backslappers encouraging us, you know how you have good friends, how what a great job you're doing, they didn't mind telling me when I was off base or when I needed a little shove or a little correction. And we really became very, very close. So much growth happened through that at that period of time. It was a wonderful experience of what God does with community. You can imagine how difficult that was for me when I had to leave that. After 30 years there, I moved and went on to Huntington. But God was so good. I was scared. I knew there wasn't an active prayer group. But I found an absolutely wonderful parish. And these people knew what community was. And I was immediately welcomed into that. So God always provides that if we keep our eyes open and do what we need to do to form community. You know, it's not difficult to start a small faith-sharing community, and I really encourage you, you know, you kind of have a natural thing here. You're all from the same parish. There might be a couple groups that maybe want to get together. The only thing you need is a desire to share your faith, a place, and a time. The rest of that can take care of itself. There are some really, really good books on how to do that. Sister Nancy Keller has a book, and it's Faith Sharing Within the Charismatic Renewal. Faith Sharing Within Charismatic Renewal, and she'll take you soup to nuts and tell you exactly what you need to do to share. What some people have done, what our faith sharing community at my home do, we share the readings for the next Sunday. And usually we stick to the gospel, and we simply share that. What does that mean to you? What would have to change in your life in order for you to live out that gospel reading? And then we pray for each other's needs, period. And it's a wonderful way to grow in love with each other and with the Lord. The last tool I want to talk about is service and evangelization. When we are filled with God's Spirit, God will set our hearts on fire. And it's only natural that we're going to want to share that with everybody we meet. When I had that baptism in the Spirit experience, when I was filled with God's Spirit, I walked into my old church that I always thought was just the deadest thing in the world. And I walked into that church, and it was like I was in love with everybody there. I wanted to go up and hug them and say, "You know what God wants to do?" Thank God I was too shy to do that, but I wanted to. It's only natural that we would want to share that. The U.S. bishops define it as bringing the good news of Jesus Christ into every human situation and seeking to convert individuals and society by the divine power of the gospel itself. Isn't that cool? The gospel, the good news itself, has the power to convert both individuals and society. They go on to say both the proclamation, that is the person who does the preaching, and the response of the person who hears, both of those are the work of the Spirit, not us, but the work of the Spirit. So you may naturally want to share this experience, convince everyone you meet that they need to do the same thing, but I want to encourage you, just go softly, go softly. The best way to evangelize those closest to you. You know, you may have changed this weekend, but when you go home, your husband's going to be the same. So are your kids. That's right, you prayed. That's right, we prayed. The best way to evangelize those closest to you is to love them better today than you did yesterday. Ask God every morning, show me what ways does my husband or my children or my family or my coworker, what ways do they need me to love them today? And then pay attention to that. Listen for that little nudge that you get and do that. They begin to see, you know what, you're not acting the same. You're a lot more calmer at home. You're a lot more peaceful. You seem really joyful, and people will come to you and say, you know what, you don't look this, you know, something's happened to you. What's happened? Wonderful opportunity. When they ask, tell them your story. Let them know what God has done for you. That's the best way to evangelize. But don't put on them a need that they have to respond in kind, that they need to do something. Just share your story. Watch for people who are open to hearing that message. There are people who are really hungry for the word, and they will find you out. Feel free to share that with them. Let them know what has happened. But don't be too pushy. And again, don't insist that they do something. This evangelizing, this sharing the good news, also means service. We are not going to show people the love of God without giving them the love of God. If we want people to believe that in the love of a Father and of God, then we need to be loving servants and take care of those needs. And there's all kinds of things we can do. We used to talk about them as corporal, spiritual, and corporal works of mercy. I can't even say the word anymore. Only now, the difference for you will be, it's not going to just be your prodding along, but it's going to be empowered by the Spirit of God to show you where you are to serve and how you are to serve, and the results are left up to God. Okay? So it could be big things like starting a food pantry, serving the poor, taking care of the homeless. But it's most likely going to be in the everyday things. Encouraging the widow who lives next door, who's been really lonely, making a bowl of soup for somebody who just got out of the hospital, stopping and reading your grandchild a book right at the time you were supposed to get supper ready. All of those little ways of service are just as important as the big things. So look for ways. There's many, many, many ways to serve, to share Jesus' love with each other. And lastly, after listening to a talk like this one, I don't know about you, but I can feel very tired, sometimes discouraged. Well, let's see, what have I heard so far today? I need to pray every day. I need to read scripture. I need to study. I need to start a faith-sharing group, get a community of Christians. I need to look for an active service. And it can be very discouraging thinking I can't do all of that. But brothers and sisters, I want to set you free tonight. All of these things are really good things. Yes, and they are going to help you to grow and to mature and to lead a balanced life. They will. But please don't leave here thinking that you have to do every one of these things. I want to give you just a word. Just follow what Jesus tells you. Stick to the prayer time. 15 minutes to start. Stick to that prayer time. Ask Jesus. He will lead and guide you in the direction that he wants. Just like Mary said to the servants at the wedding feast, do whatever he tells you. If all you do is to start to talk to God every day and try to respond to what you hear, don't let it go in one ear and not the other. Try to respond to what you hear. You can be sure God's own spirit will lead you on the path you need to follow. The most important thing I want to leave you with is that God loves you. He calls you his beloved. He is furiously, furiously in love with each and every one of us. All you have to do is say, yeah, God, and let him love you. He will do the rest. God bless you and happy journey.